What I want to try to speak to you about this morning, in recent times I have started to speak about usefulness in the Christian life. And 2 weeks ago I was over in Convoy and I was speaking about Moses and the usefulness in the life of Moses. This morning I want to speak to you about usefulness in the life of Joshua. And the must of submission. Joshua was a very outstanding man of God. He had to be to follow a leader like Moses. Because I'm convinced that amongst men, there never was another man quite like Moses. We need to remember some basic facts about Moses. He was a man who spoke face to face with God. Don't read of that of any other man in history or in Scripture. He had such an intimate relationship with God. He got so close to God that he literally began to burn up. And you remember he had to cover his face. He had such a unique relationship with God. And when his life came to an end, who buried him? God buried him. You don't read that of any other man in Scripture. Unique, amazing man, Moses. Now we come to Joshua. And Joshua's following Moses. I'm sure there would be those who would try to compare the two. Well, they couldn't be compared. It would be unfair to try to compare them. Joshua was a great man too, but a very different man. Today we would say he was a military man. He was a strategist. He knew about fighting battles. Great man. And we want to take a little look at his life this morning and a few things about him. It comes to our attention first of all with Caleb. Remember when Moses sent out the 12 spies to search out the land of Canaan? Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of those 12 who stood up and said, "We can take the land." The others said they couldn't. They were defeated in their thinking. And they gave in immediately, and only Joshua and Caleb were convinced and had the faith to believe they could take the land. I'm intrigued, I'm not speaking about Caleb this morning, but I've always been intrigued by Caleb's testimony. Because when they entered the land of Canaan and had conquered quite a part of the land of Canaan, and they were distributing the heritage to each tribe and to each person. You'll remember that Caleb came to Joshua and he said, here's his testimony, "I'm as strong today as I was then to fight and to war, etc." After 40 years, here was a man and he could stand and he could say, "I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago." Could you say that today? Now, we're talking maybe on the physical level, but here was the physical level and the spiritual level. He was as strong physically as 40 years previously, and he was as strong spiritually. And it's my experience over a lifetime of viewing people, generally people, as they get on in the Christian life, they relax somewhat and they take it easy. And there's not the sharpness and the zeal and the fervor for God that was in earlier days of Christian experience. That was Caleb. That's why he excites me. He was a strong, after 40 years, physically and spiritually, as the day that he stood at Kadesh Barnea and said, "We can take this land for God." What's Joshua were thinking about? I want to consider three aspects in the life of Joshua. Three aspects in his life. Very often there's a spiritual crisis in the life of the person who has become involved in the service of God. You don't get into the service of God in some old willy-nilly way. Generally, there's a moment of crisis. There's a time of crisis when you face the challenge of serving God. Note the problems that concern Joshua in the service of the Lord. Joshua was by Jericho and he lifted up his eyes and he looked at the massive walls of the city that blocked their way and blocked any advance of the people of God. And when he looked at the massive fortress, he was concerned. He was a concerned and troubled man. The problem which confronted Joshua were twofold. First of all, the burdens that had been laid upon him. That burden consisted of the people of God and the purposes of God for them. The purpose of God for his people was that they should possess the land he had provided for them. God's word to Joshua had been, arise and go over this Jordan and all this people unto the land that I do give them. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. Here was a man who was burdened with the need of others. How was he going to lead them into the purposes of God for them? The promised land. I might question this morning how many Christian people live in the promised land. Now the promised land was a land of fullness. It was a land of plenty. There was everything for them there that they needed. And how many Christian people live in that kind of promised land, a land of fullness and a land of plenty. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not thinking of some of the nonsense that prosperity preachers preach today. Think of someone like Kenneth Copeland, who has amassed for himself $675 million. The man's a charlatan. And telling us that if we are going to live for God, God's going to make us a millionaire. Some of the godliest people on earth have been the poorest people on this earth. But Joshua had to lead these people. It was God's purpose to lead these people into the promised land. The purpose of God for your life and for mine is that we would have a life of fullness and a life of plenty spiritually. God's will for your life and for mine. How concerned and troubled Joshua must have been as he went out and looked at the tens of thousands of people now asleep. I believe that when Joshua went out that night, he went out to survey the scene before they were going to march on Jericho. Must have been an awesome moment to look at the sleeping camp of Israel. He went out and surveyed the scene. This burden was upon him. Could you have slept? Could I have slept that night if the next day we were to march on Jericho and the awesome responsibility of it was upon his shoulders? So I believe he went out to reconnoiter, take a look at the sea. Now the camp of Israel was awesome. Awesome. Israel didn't camp any old way. In the center was the tabernacle. And that was awesome. Because at night time above the tabernacle, God came down in a pillar of fire. And the radiance of that radiated over the camp, giving light and warmth. Awesome. Then during the day, the camp was covered by a cloud. And I say to you again, Israel didn't camp any old way. They camped in an orderly fashion. Each camp on their own, the 12 tribes, right around the tabernacle. Judah and Asher and all the Dan and all the different tribes. With their standard, the camp of Judah camped and they erected their standard and so on, the 12 tribes round. Must have been awesome. Must have been awesome. Joshua was viewing that spectacle. What a moment it must have been. And you can only imagine how Joshua must have felt as he looked out then at the massive fortress that barred any further progress into the promised land. This city was about 8 acres square. You just visualize that. 8 acres square. The inner walls were 12 feet thick. The outer walls 6 feet thick. And 30 feet high. And on top of them there were houses built. It must have been an awesome spectacle. Awesome. It was right and proper that Joshua should survey the city. Go out and take a look at it. And see what had to be done. The formidable difficulties lay ahead. They were very formidable. And there are formidable difficulties before the church, before the people of God today also. We don't need to look too far. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are what we're up against as we seek to serve God today. We now come to the heart of the whole situation and see the presence that confronted him in the service of God. Suddenly, as Joshua looked at Jericho, a man stood over against him with a drawn sword in his hand. Now you just visualize the scene. He was on his own. The camp of Israel were asleep. There was no one to help him. We could have understood it had he turned and fled. But Joshua was no coward, as we've already established. Joshua went to him and asked him that unique question, "Art thou for us or for our enemies?" And he said, "Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the ground and did worship him and said, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And he said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy." And notice that he did so. Joshua did so. That's very, very significant. I want to say to you this morning that if Joshua hadn't done that, you and I would never have heard of him again. We would never have heard of him again. Listen to what Dr. Graham Scroggie says about this incident. "God in Christ appears in many aspects to his people, and always in a manner most suited to their circumstances and the need of the hour. To Jacob he came as a wrestler. To Moses he appeared in a flame of fire. To Joshua he revealed himself as a warrior. To the afflicted he is the God of comfort. To the oppressed he is the God of hope. To the lonely he is a friend. To the storm-tossed he is our anchor. To the longing soul he is the Lord who meets our every need." Now this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. We call it a Christophany. This was the intrusion of the divine presence. How awesome and how wonderful. The truth that Joshua was to learn that day was simply this, that his first concern was not to be Jericho. His first concern was to be Jesus Christ, his divine presence. Now, I hope that truth grips all of us this morning, that our first concern should not be what we are doing for Christ and his church, but with Jesus himself, with Jesus Christ himself. It would almost seem as if Jesus Christ said to Joshua, "You've come out to look at Jericho. I want you to look at me instead." Joshua saw Jesus, the intrusion of the divine presence. How awesome that is. But then we see here his submission to the divine presence. And this, dear people, is what it's all about in your life and mine. Submission to Jesus Christ, not only was the Lord there, but he was there to command and to control. So that brings us to the central truth of the message, the must of submission. Submission comes before service. There's so many people trying to serve the Lord today at their own convenience and in their own way. What they want to do when it suits them, and that kind of service is a waste of time. A waste of time. Submission first, service second. Jesus first, then Jericho. We desperately need to grasp this truth in the church today. Maybe it's time we stopped and took a look at Jesus again. Maybe our attitude is we have got to be busy. Maybe God is saying to us today, we've got to be obedient and do what he wants us to do. Didn't seem all that important when Joshua was told to take off his shoe from off his foot. But I say to you again, it was vitally important, because had he not done that, it was all over for Joshua. There would have been no second chance here. His service would have been ended. It would have been all over. It's so important that we realize that. If you don't want to have anything to do with the will of God in your life, then God will have nothing to do with your life in his will. That's to put it kind of in a novel way. But that's what it's all about. The problems that concerned him, the presence that confronted him, and the prospects that confirm him in the service of God. I notice this about Free Presbyterian churches, you don't have clocks there for to tell the preacher the time. So if I go a bit too long, you have nothing there to warn me. Nothing there to warn me. Two things combine to make the prospects very exciting here. Two things. First, the ability of his Lord to give the victory and progress that progress would demand. And the Lord said, "I have given you Jericho." That was very wonderful. "I have given you Jericho." Wonder if we lost sight of victory in the Christian life. There's so many Christian people live defeated Christian lives. They're cast down in their soul, and their life, every time you talk to them, is a tale of woe. And they don't seem to rejoice any longer, and they don't have any joy. And so their little chorus we used to sing, their joy in serving Jesus. And there is joy in serving Jesus. And the joy, the Bible tells us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. How strong are you this morning as a Christian? Well, if you're strong, you'll be joyful. And if you're joyful, you'll be strong. They go together. They're inseparable. They're married together. Joy and strength. Secondly, the authority of his Lord to guide the strategy. Now, it was a complicated strategy, wasn't it? They were to go around. We've read it. They were to go around the city one day. And then they were to go around it the next day until they went around seven times. And then they were to shout and blow with the trumpets and shout, and the walls would fall down. I'm sure that those in Jericho wondered what was happening. I'm sure they wondered, are these people mad? What are they trying to do anyway? What is this all about? This is a nonsense. Didn't seem very sensible. Ah, but it was God's plan. God's plan. And it worked. And it worked perfectly. And Israel were given a great victory when the walls fell down and they took the city. I think we can't emphasize enough our submission to God, our obedience to God. To do things his way. If we follow his plan, if we do things his way, then we'll have his blessing. His blessing will be poured out. The victory will be given. And we'll all rejoice in the great triumph which is his. Amen.